We're going to open up our Bibles again to John's Gospel, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, but you are clean, though not every one of you." He knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Once again, we thank God for this reading from his word that calls us to reflect upon Jesus. Well, in the last few months, throughout this year, in fact, we've been reflecting on the theme of the way of Jesus, asking the question, if we are followers of Jesus, if we are disciples of Jesus, seeking to walk in the way of Jesus, then how should we do that? And perhaps the best way for us to answer that question is to reflect upon Jesus and say, well, what did he do? How did he do it? What was his character? What was he like? How did others respond to him? And from all of these things, we can learn about Jesus, and we can learn something more about the way of Jesus and how we might walk in the way of Jesus. And today we're thinking about being a servant, serving one another. And what I want to do, what I'm going to do, is I'm going to make some, first of all, some very simple reflections on this account, this story about Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and then perhaps go just a little deeper and call us to reflect more deeply about this particular passage. First of all, I think it's three very simple things. The first is this: Jesus took the place of the servant. Now this we found in verse 4. He got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. Very simple thing. He took the place of the servant. The question we might ask, well, why wasn't there a servant there anyway to do what Jesus was going to do? Maybe there was a servant, but he was just sitting, waiting for the right moment to stand up and to begin washing one another's feet. Why was Jesus washing the disciples' feet anyway? Why would a servant wash feet? Well, in the days in which Jesus lived, of course, there was not perhaps the sanitation that we enjoy today. The roads were good, but they're not as good as we have them today, and the drains were probably non-existent. And so when you walked along a street, in any street in the Middle East, your feet, as you would be wearing sandals, your feet would get mucky and smelly, and they were in need of being washed. And of course, when people came for a meal, they didn't sit nicely on chairs with their feet tucked under the table, so you couldn't see or smell their feet. You know, they used to recline, I think is the term that would be used. They used to recline, so you would basically prop yourself up on one arm, and you would lie down. Now, if you can imagine that, everybody reclining around the table, as you're eating your fantastic food that has been prepared for you, what have you got next to your head? Somebody else's feet, which may have walked in something. Dot, 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 you know. And so the servant would be there to wash feet. Now, this was not a particularly pleasant task to do. And yet Jesus takes the place of the servant. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. And he was saying, I am a servant. That is something about who I am. The second thing that we notice is this, that Jesus, very simply, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Verse 5 says this, after that he poured water into a bowl and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. So not only did Jesus take the place of the servant, not only did he have, as it were, a sweatshirt on that said, servant, this is who I am, but he actually did the task that he was called to do. He did the task that he set out to do. He took the place of the servant, but then he actually got on with it, and he served. He washed his disciples' feet. Maybe there is that temptation for us to take the place of the servant, to take a particular position, and then it becomes for us just a title, just a name tag. Who are you? What do you do? Well, I'm the minister. I'm this. I'm a deacon. I'm a servant. I do this. And we enjoy the title more than the actual doing, the thing that we're supposed to do, the function. And so we see that very simply in Jesus. He took the place of the servants, but then he got on and washed his disciples' feet. The third thing that we notice is this, that Jesus commanded his disciples to do the same. All the way down in verse 14, after he'd washed their feet, after Simon Peter had objected initially, how can you, Jesus, wash my smelly feet? Jesus said, no, I've got to wash your feet. This is part of what it means to follow Jesus, to be served by him. What does it say in verse 14? Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Very simple. Very clear. Do you know, there's a lot of teaching in the New Testament. If we made a list of all the teaching we find in the New Testament. No, let's not go for the New Testament. Let's just go for the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If we went and made a list, went point one, start at the beginning of Matthew. Let's make a list of all the teaching that is there. Some of the teaching, we might say, is quite direct. Some of it is quite obtuse. Some of it we wouldn't be sure about. Some of the teaching we could say, well, this is good teaching, but it's not for me right now. Some of the teaching we'd say, this is really good teaching for my neighbour, for somebody who really needs it. But this is one example of teaching that comes direct from Jesus to us. It's not teaching that we can avoid or turn aside from and say, well, it doesn't apply to me. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Now, if we seek to walk in the way of Jesus, if we say we are disciples of Jesus, if we want to live lives like that of Jesus, then washing one another's feet, being a servant to one another, is not something we can avoid. Okay? So three very simple things. Very simple that we take from this account. Firstly, Jesus took the place of the servant. He has the title, servant because he's got up from his place. He's taken off his outer clothing. He's got himself ready. He looks like a servant. But then he washes the feet. He gets on with it. He gets on to the down to the dirty task that needs to be done. But then he commands his disciples, "Well, you do the same." Now, just want to say, it probably doesn't need to be said, but do we literally need to go and wash one another's feet? I'm just looking at a few feet around here. You know, do we literally need to wash one another's feet? Is that what it is about? Well, I'm not sure that Jesus would come to us today and say, "Wash one another's feet." Because what Jesus was doing, he was taking the place of the servant, he was doing the servant's task, and he was saying, "Now you do the servant's task." And we perhaps need to ask ourselves, what is the servant's task today? How can I serve others? It's explicit from Jesus. Now I've done it, you must do it. What is the servant's task? What is it that we can do for one another that would mean we do, in fact, walk in the steps of Jesus? So it may be washing one another's feet, but I doubt it. It may be all sorts of things. Things that go on already within the life of the church, where we're aware of one another, and we pray for one another, and we provide money or food or shelter for one another. We provide a listening ear for somebody who needs to be listened to. We provide counsel for somebody who needs advice. We do very simple, practical things for somebody. We babysit. I don't know. You know, I'm just reeling off a list. But you know the kind of thing, practical things. When Jesus got down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet, I'm sure a better place would have just been reclining and letting somebody else do it. But the call of Jesus is, "I've done it, now you do it." So, we have in this account explicit teaching from Jesus. If you want to walk in the way of Jesus, we must do what he has done, which is to wash feet. Take the place of the servant and do what a servant does. Now, I'm going to now list, I think it's seven very quick observations, reflections on this passage, which I hope will take us just a little bit deeper. And part of the reason I do this is because I want to encourage us that as we read the Bible for ourselves, and many of you will do this anyway, as we read the Bible for ourselves, we can reflect and go a little deeper. We can take a little more time with the passage that's in front of us. And as we're asking, what does it mean for us to be a servant? We can take it just as face value and say, that's fantastic, that's great. But we can also go a little deeper, reflect a little bit more, ask a few more questions about the passage, and learn more about who Jesus was. The first thing I want to highlight is this, relationship with God. Let's have a look at verse 1. Verse 1, John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Verse 3, Jesus, what's the word? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. What we need to observe, I believe, as we seek to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, as we seek to do what Jesus did, we need to just very simply be aware of this, that Jesus served out of relationship with God. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, simply this. Jesus knew what his Father was thinking. Jesus knew what his Father was doing. And we can only ever know what God is saying. We can only ever know what God is wanting for us if we have relationship with him. So we notice this about Jesus even before he gets up from his place, even before he puts on the towel around his waist, ready to wash his disciples' feet. Even before all this happens, we are aware of relationship with God. Second thing we observe is this, relationship with those he served. Verse 4, very simple. So he got up from the meal. He got up from the meal. what we see in Jesus is relationship with God. He knew what God was saying, what God was instructing him to do because he had relationship with God. But then we observe, well, he was having a meal with these people. He had a relationship with those people around the table, and the people he is calling us first off to serve are those we have relationship with. He is calling us first off to serve those we have a relationship with. Now you might say, hang on, isn't this copping out? You know, shouldn't we be serving people in the third world? Shouldn't we be serving the real needy, the real poor? Well, yes, of course we should be serving the third world and the poor and all the rest of it. But who's it more difficult to serve? Who's it more difficult to serve? The third world or your neighbour? Who do you think? You're not too confident about, you know. I'm not going to pick on you. Your neighbour. Your husband. Your wife. Your children. Your friend that you know so well, who knows you inside out. The person who will say, what do you think you're doing? When you get down on your hands and knees and wash their feet, when you serve them, you say, no, don't do this for me. Now, it's so easy to do it for somebody we don't know. I know that. I've done it. It's so much more difficult to serve the people we're in relationship with. But this is precisely what Jesus does. He is not in a massive crowd that he's teaching, and he doesn't just pick out an individual. He's having a meal, and a meal for Jesus. When you read the Gospels, he has meals with people he wants relationship with. And so, as we reflect just a little deeper, we understand Jesus is serving. Came out of relationship with God. And it was for those he had relationship with. Now that doesn't mean we don't ever serve people we don't initially know. But it begins at home. It begins with those that we know. It begins right here. We seek to serve one another. The next thing, the third thing, strength and confidence in God. Verse 3 again. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So we see Jesus had relationship with God. He served out of that relationship with God. He served those he was in relationship with. He knew that is the toughest thing to do. But that's where he begins. That's where he calls his disciples to do. The third thing we note is that Jesus had incredible strength in God. He had incredible confidence in God. In verse 3, we are told that he knew, Jesus knew, that the Father had put all things under his power. He knew he had come from God. He knew he was returning to God. He had confidence in God. Now, this is not to say that it was a confidence. I know God will make me prosper. I know God will make me a success. I know God will deliver me from all the troubles that might come my way. It was a confidence in God that whatever happens to me, I can trust God. I have that strength in God. So we have this serving and this command to serve. Relationship with God. Relationship with those that we seek to serve. But a strength in God. Out of our own prayers. Out of our own reflection upon the Word of God. Out of our own time with God and with others. We build up strength and confidence in God. And it is out of that that we're able to serve as Jesus did. Number 4. Actions rooted in love. Go back to verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world, go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The serving that Jesus did, the serving that he calls his disciples to do, the serving he calls us to do, these are actions that are rooted in love. We serve from a life that is rooted in the love of God, rooted in love from God, rooted in a love for others. These actions of servanthood do not take place in a vacuum, but they're rooted in this relationship of love. So we serve out of this relationship with love. Just a further reflection on this love, actions rooted in love. It strikes me, just put this up, that when we love somebody, when we serve somebody out of love, because we are loved by God and we love others, and we serve them because of this love, this life that is rooted in love, we serve, we're encouraging a journey to take place. We're encouraging the person we serve to be the best that they can be. We're encouraging the person we serve to look more up than down, out of depression and darkness into the light. We're encouraging that to take place without ever saying perhaps anything. But we do it out of love. A life that is rooted in love. A life that loves. So we seek to serve. The fifth thing. He was secure in his place. He was secure in his place. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. That's all it says. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And my own reflection and prayer over this is this, that Jesus was secure in his place. He had a place. Like you and I have a place. And he was secure. He returned to his place, sat back down. And I wonder sometimes what it would do for us if we were secure in our place. If we didn't worry or trouble about other people's place, about what other people were doing or saying, but we were secure in the person that we are and the place that we have. We weren't ambitious for anybody else's place. What would it look like if we were content to say, well, this is who I am. These are the gifts I have. This is how I can serve. This is how I can live. And I will do that before God and before others with integrity. And I will be secure in that. Now, I realize this has implications for ourselves and our attitude to others. It has implications for ourselves because it means we have to understand, who am I? Who has God made me? What gifts has he given me? What is it that I should be doing? Where should I, as it were, be sitting? Where is my place? And we might discover that the very things that we are doing at present and the place that we occupy is not really what God has called us to do or to be. And we have to say, look, I'm really, really sorry. I know I'm involved and committed to this and that and the other, but that's not really who I am. And I need to return to my place, because if I'm going to be a servant, I need to be secure in my place, the place that God has given me, the person that God has made me to be. But this has implications for our attitude to others as well. How easy it is, and I've done it myself, how easy it is to look at the gifted people and say, well, you're gifted. You can do that. You can fulfill the task. You're capable. Now, we have to be careful that we push people out of their place to fulfill a task that God never called them to, that God never made them to, that God has not gifted them and equipped them to do. And we have to be very careful. We have to have the wisdom of God. As we seek to be servants, we need to be secure in our place and honour other people's place and pray for one another that we'll all know our place and be safe and secure in our place. So he was secure in his place. Number six, he was secure and aware of who he was. Verse 13. Well, I'll read from verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. That is what I am. Now, Jesus might have said, no, no, it's okay. You haven't got to call me teacher. I'm not really. I'm nobody special. Have you ever done that? Put yourself down, kind of demean yourself a bit, because you're a bit nervous about people looking up to you or affirming who you are. But what do we see? In Jesus the servant, relationship with God, relationship with others, he's secure, he's safe, he's confident in God. But he's also secure and aware. He's aware of who he is, and he's secure of who he is, and he's not worried about it. You call me teacher and Lord, that is who I am. No getting around that. Not, I don't think he's boastful about it. He doesn't lord that over others, but he's secure in it. Who are you? Who are you? It comes back to our previous point. He was secure in his place. What is your place? Who are you in that place? Who has God called you to be? What are the gifts that he has given you? Am I confident enough just to remain in my place and be that person? Am I safe when other people say, this is who you are? Even though their affirmation of me may mean a change for me to actually stand up and own it. Are we secure in who we are? Are we aware of who we are? So rather than going, years ago I used to play a lot of snooker, and it was great fun. If I was on form, you know, it was great fun. I used to imagine myself as Steve Davis. That's a few years ago, of course. But and you could knock them in and you could line yourself up for the next shot and then the balls would go. But then you'd get tired and the ball wouldn't go exactly as it should. And suddenly you'd see balls, red ones, coloured ones, going all over the table. If you've ever played snooker, just everywhere. And sometimes I think of people being a bit like snooker balls. We're just kind of bouncing off the cushions, off other balls, all over the place, and we don't really know who we are, what our place is or anything. We're just kind of doing the next task that presents itself. We're just doing this because it's there, not because it's what we should be doing. But this security in our place, the security in who we are, means that we can serve out of that place. Number seven. Oh, the teacher in law, that's what I am. Number seven, promise of blessing. Verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. The great thing about Bible studies, great thing about what I'm doing right now, is that people can be impressed by what one knows. You must be so close to God because you know this stuff. People maybe say that to you. But Jesus doesn't say, you're going to be blessed. What does he say? Doesn't say, you will be blessed if you know these things. What does he say? You'll be blessed if you do them. You do them. You'll be blessed if you do them. So in all our reflection this morning, we understand the story. Jesus takes the place of the servant. He washes the feet. He has relationship with God, with others. Those he's serving, he's secure and safe in his place, what God has called him to be, this place that God has called him to. He knows who he is. And he says, now, if you can understand all this and understand what Jesus has done, if you will do it, you'll be blessed. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God speaks to Abraham and says to him, I'm going to form a great nation out of you, and I'm going to bless you, not for yourself, but I'm going to bless you that you might be a blessing to others. And we are called to follow after God, to live lives close to him, so that we might know blessing, so that we might be a blessing to others. We receive that others might receive from us. It may be that today we can receive the encouragement from God that we can be servants like Jesus. Let's take a moment to pray together. Father, my very simple prayer this morning out of all the reflection on this passage is that for each one of us there will be something very clear that we can hold on to, we can take away and reflect more upon. But Father, as we receive that thing, as we reflect on that thing, Father, help us not just to be knowers, but to be doers. That we might be blessed and others will be blessed through us. Pour your Spirit upon us, we pray, as we seek to follow Jesus, for we ask in his name. Amen.